God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the fifth day of August, 2007, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music today from Andy Bittinger and Brenda Waterloo, and then our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, brings the message from the first book of Peter, Hope and Joy in Jesus Christ. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you.
Stand as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1 as we continue in our Peter series. What a great encouraging book, and we'll look at one of those thoughts of encouragement here this morning as we begin in verse 3 on down to verse 9. Peter continues on. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Lord, we come to you once again. Lord, never tiring of communicating with you, Lord, of praying and talking with you. Lord, we need your power. We need your presence once again. May Satan have no dominion today, Lord. But we pray that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to move in our hearts, our minds. Lord, give me clarity of thought to present your word, Lord, today. And may your children be encouraged. May we find that lively hope, Lord, that only you can give. And Lord, those that may not know you today, Lord, may their hearts be stirred that they may come and accept you as their Lord and Savior. That they may find out what hope is all about. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. It's about 6 months or so ago, I was glued to the news, and up on Mount Hood, three hikers suddenly ran into a blizzard. And I don't know about you, but it caught my attention, and I began to follow the news, and like everybody, hoping and praying that they would rescue those men. But as a couple days wore on, and the blizzard continued, and they couldn't get up the mountain. You might remember back in December, just of 2006, that the fatal news came and all had lost their lives. And one in particular was a gentleman by the name of Kelly James. And he was a landscaping architect, and his wife, Karen, and come to find out they were born-again believers. And as she was being interviewed by Katie Couric, it was interesting. One of the questions asked by Katie was, are you mad? I mean, are you upset? I mean, he went up there and went up the mountain, got caught in a blizzard and died, and lost his life prematurely. And does it make you mad that he's gone? And I thought it was interesting the way that Karen answered. She said this, I'm not angry. I'm really sad our journey is over for a while, and I miss him terribly. But I like this, she said. But he loved life so much, and he taught me how to love. He taught me how to live. And I don't know how you can be angry at someone who loved their family, who loved God, and gave back so much more than he took. I thought about that, and I said, you know what? Wow. I pray to God that when you and I are gone, that somebody would say something like that about us. I would hope that as believers, they'd say, you know what? Man, I'm going to miss them. Man, I'm sorry they're gone, and I'm going to miss them a lot. Now, I know just this week I increased my life insurance, so I have to be real careful about this week. I may be gone. By the way, if I am gone in the next month or so, take a look at Brenda, would you? But I hope somebody would say at that time, man, you know, man, we miss him, but boy, he was a joy to be around. He enjoyed life and just lived in hope. Man, taught me how to live, taught me how to enjoy life. And I believe every born-again believer ought to be that way. Nobody ought to enjoy life like we enjoy life. You understand that? The Bible said here, Paul, and really the theme I want to talk about as you look at it, as he begins in verse 3, right in the middle, he says, he hath begotten us unto a lively hope. That word lively means living hope. Folks, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ isn't dead, that he's alive? Aren't you glad we have something to live for? I'm amazed at believers that walk around always depressed, always down, you know, always got the prune face look, you know. And I'm thinking, what are you so upset about? You and I, above anybody else, no matter what's happening in our life, have more hope than anybody. We have more to look forward to. And we ought to be just a bountiful, lively hope. Man, some of you got 2 and 3 year olds, you use the term, they're lively. So you know what lively is. They ought to say that about believers. Man, they're just lively. What is it? We're enjoying life. Now I realize this world is not our home and we're strangers as we talked about last week. And it's not about this world, but folks, guess what? We have a life that's inside of us. I got to visit with Milton Lewis, Jeanette's husband, just about a month ago in the hospital. And one thing that stood out to me is that he came through the procedure and I was standing in there with Miss Jeanette. And Brother Milton was just kind of talking a little bit, and he made this comment. He said, you know, I never worry about these procedures. I never worry about going to the hospital and having a procedure. He says, no matter what, when I wake up, everything's going to be good. And I listened for a minute. He said, I'll tell you why, preacher. He says, this is why. He says, I'm either going to wake up, and I'm going to be in heaven in the presence of angels. He says, or I'm going to have all my friends standing there looking at me, seeing if I'm okay. He said, either way, that's good stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, you know what? What a great perspective. I mean, really, that ought to be our perspective. It's not that we never get a little nervous, never a little anxious, but when it comes right down to it, we realize, hey, we got more hope than anybody. If I die, I'm in heaven. How's that bad? And if I'm alive, I got good friends there. I got my loved ones there looking at me saying, hey, we care about you. And I thought, wow, we ought to have a hope like that. I believe Peter was writing to remind them of hope. And this morning, I want to give you some hope. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I don't know if you understand this, but of the three great things the Bible talks about, he says faith, hope, and love, the greatest being love. But those other two are pretty important, faith and hope. We ought to live not just with a lot of faith, not just with a lot of love. We ought to live with a lot of hope. When people see our lives, they ought to see a lively hope, a living hope that no matter what's happening, we believe that there is a God out there. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's overseeing and interacting in my life. And no matter what I'm going through today, there's a God that can see me through tomorrow. That is the hope that we give. And I believe that if born-again believers would believe that, and we'd live that way, people would be flocking. Have you ever thought, stop and wonder, why aren't there more believers? Have you ever wondered about that? I'm amazed at this world today and the way people think. Matter of fact, Brother Scott had a friend over at his house. We were just kind of talking about that conversation. And he had a friend that kind of looked at him and said, man, you got the life I always hoped for. You got the life I always wanted. And then Brother Scott opened up his mouth and started to talk about God. And immediately the friend said, oh, I don't want any of that stuff. And I thought, well, then you don't get the hope, man. You don't get the life. Listen, if you're here today and your life is miserable, but you are dragged to church today. By the way, it's not bad to drag your kids to church, okay? You are dragged to church today and you're like, I can't believe they made me come. Hey, wait a minute, folks. We got a gift for you today better than the pen, okay? You say, what's that gift? Hope, like you've never had it before. A hope to wake up every day and realize no matter how bad the day seems to be, you got something to live for, man. You got a life worth enjoying. And you ought to enjoy it because you have Jesus Christ. We'd like to give that to you today. And you that are believers, I want to remind you of the gift you already have. The gift of Jesus Christ. Well, what brings us lively hope? Well, Peter begins to just elaborate here in these four or five verses. I want to take a look at it. Look at verse 3. How do we have the lively hope, or why do we have this lively hope? Look what he says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, and look at this, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. That word begotten, literally as you go back into the Greek word and study it out, it literally means that we became a part of Christ through a process called the rebirth. Begotten literally means that he birthed us. He brought us forth is what he did. You said, how did that happen? It happened the day you were born. We have several new babies in the congregation. I tell you what, if you ever want to bring joy into a congregation, bring babies in. You say, where are the babies, preacher? Just look where the ladies are at during intermission time. Any break we have, there's about four or five of them, voof, like this. And they're over there going, I never have four or five people around me going, hey, preacher. And by the way, I don't want that either, in case you're wondering. I got to be careful what I say. Some of you are ornery. But seriously, I mean, it's just like the door opens and you can be depressed and down and somebody come in with a baby and it's, oh, a baby. You know, and you're cuddly and everything's all excited and everything. Why? They just bring a life. Man, new birth means life. And everybody's excited about life. I mean, it's a joyful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Do you not understand that when you and I accept Jesus Christ, we get life? Right. When you became born again, your rebirth, you became begotten of Jesus Christ. And Peter says, I want to remind you, you got a lively hope. You know why? Because you're no longer of this world. You're of Jesus Christ. You're of the family of God. Oh, and that's so special. I'll tell you something today, folks. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that that new birth is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. It'll change your life. It'll change your perspective. And if you're walking around today and you just feel like the whole world's on your shoulders and nothing's going right, and maybe you got some religion, I'm not here to offer you religion. I'm here to offer you Jesus Christ. There's a big difference. You can be part of religion and still miserable. But you can't have Jesus Christ and not enjoy and have hope, folks. I'm sorry. There's just something inside that just is pushing us. The Holy Spirit of God saying, man, this is life. And life more abundantly through Jesus Christ. Isn't that what God wants for you, by the way? I don't know why we walk around forgetting that Christ said, I want you to have life more abundantly. He goes, I want you to enjoy life. Why? Because you're part of the family of God. You've been born again. Woo! I like that. That's number one, why we have a lively hope. Look at number two as you just go down the descriptive verses here. He begins to explain a little farther. He says, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Secondly, not only because you're born again, he says, but secondly, we have a lively hope because of the resurrection. You know what separates Christianity from everything else? The resurrection. Yeah, you know Muhammad, he's still dead. You know Buddha, he's not alive. That's not true. They believe in reincarnation. Although I do think I ate him the other day. I'm not sure. But anyways, had a Big Mac. It could have been him. I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Joseph Smith, he's dead. They're all in the grave. But you know, Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ is the only one who rose from the grave. The only one through the resurrection. And by the way, the resurrection is the key point of Christianity. It is a key factor. If there's no resurrection, we have no Christianity. It is that important to us. He says you ought to be excited about the resurrection. The doubters who don't believe, the mockers who mock it. But you ought to be excited about it. Why? It is your salvation. Amen. He don't rise, you're not saved. It's that simple. It is a crutch. The apex of everything that we believe is a resurrection. And he says it's so important. He goes on to explain it. He just starts rattling off words. The resurrection is an inheritance. Incorruptible, it's our inheritance. You know, when you got saved, that resurrection now means that we'll one day rise not as servants, but as children of God. We have an inheritance. Woo! It's incorruptible. There's no way it can be corrupted. There's no way it can be decayed in any way. He goes on to explain that. He says it's undefiled. It's an inheritance, this resurrection. It's incorruptible. It can't decay in any way. It's undefiled. I looked at that word, and interesting, besides not decaying, the main purpose of undefiled was this. It was gained in an honest way. It was not gained in an improper way. You and I get to go to heaven and resurrect one day, not because of, you know, we cheated our way into heaven, tricked our way into heaven, you know, manipulated it. It's through the power of Jesus Christ. It's undefiled. He uses another word. Wow, great words to describe it. He says undefiled and that fadeth not away. I thought, what's the difference between undefiled and fadeth not away? Well, I think you all know everything decays. If you have anything for any length of time, you know, you buy a car, it's great for a couple of years, and then you get chips, the paint starts fading. You know, stuff like that. If you own a house, you know, things start falling apart. You know, anything you buy, it just starts, you know, getting old and decaying. Things go from its best state and then decays from order to disorder. That's just the way it is. But you know what it's saying here that fadeth not away? Are you ready? Everything that you know about heaven, it never fades away. A flower blooms and then it dies. Heaven doesn't. The streets of gold will be just as pretty the first time you see it as well as a million years later. The angels in heaven and everything that you know about heaven, nothing ever fades. The brilliance, the color, the spectacle of it, nothing ever decays. Nothing ever gets worse. It goes from order and stays in order. Why? Because God designed it. That's our inheritance, folks. That's why we ought to be excited. This is what you get to get. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited because, man, I love my mom and dad here on earth. But I don't get nothing when they die. Now, some of you, you're lucky. You got parents that have stuff. You know? I'm not looking forward one bit to mom and dad. Not just because I love them, but I mean, it's not going to be pretty. Okay? Now, some of you, you're different. You're like, man, mom and dad passed away. I'm going to be rich. I'd like to be adopted into your family. Most of us, we don't know what that is. But I'm telling you, you get adopted into God's family, you have a hope that never decays, an inheritance you can't even imagine. Phenomenal beyond all reason. And then my favorite part, verse 5. I like this part. Look at it. Who are kept by the power of God. You know what's nice about our rebirth, our salvation? You can't lose it. Salvation is eternal. Turn with me to John chapter 10. It's a familiar verse, but I like to remind you about it because it's good. John chapter 10, verse 28. We are kept. Literally, as I think about eternal life, and we are of the sect that believes once saved, always saved. You say, yeah, preacher, I don't believe that. I know, you've been wrong before. You're wrong there, too. We'll help you through it. So I just believe I can lose my salvation. Well, I'll tell you, logically, it makes sense. I mean, logic makes sense, as wicked as we are, that we don't deserve salvation. That's why it's called grace, folks. We don't deserve salvation. But can I remind you? You didn't earn your salvation. You didn't work your way to heaven. Thus, you couldn't work for it, and you can't work to lose it. And my Bible tells me in John chapter 3, 16 and verse 36 and verse 36 that when we get saved, we get eternal life. You know how long eternal is? I like this. It's forever. How do you take back it? Brother Gerald, I'd like to give you eternal. Can I have that back? It's not eternal anymore if you take it back, folks. It's temporary. Folks, when I got saved, I didn't get saved because I was good. I didn't get saved and keep it because I got baptized or gave money to the church. When I got saved, the power of God saved me. The Holy Spirit came in, Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30, and I was sealed forever. And I'm kept, not by John Waterloo standards, but I'm kept on my way to heaven because of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Look at John chapter 10, verse 28. Man, I love this. And I gave unto them eternal life. Jesus says, I gave it unto them. He's not taking it back. And they shall never perish. This is God talking. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Woo! He gives us a visual. And he says, they're in my hand, and nobody's strong enough to pluck them out. Remember when you were little and dad would put something in his hand and says, if you can open it, you can have it? Never could get that dumb hand open. He knew that, you know, put a $5 bill, you can open it, it's yours, man. Never could. I remember at times my brother and I would be literally hanging on his arm. You know, he'd be lifting us up like this, you know. We'd be doing everything. We even thought about biting, but he hits really hard, so we let that one go. And that's just a little visual. But can you imagine Almighty God, and as big as we are, and he's holding out and say, yeah, go ahead, try to open it. With Satan, demons, who's going to open that hand? Nobody has the power. He says, John Marley, when you got saved, I put you in my hand, and I'm cupping you, and let me help you with that. No matter what comes your way, nobody's getting you out of here. And when you die, you're going to live forever in heaven. But folks, let me help you with this, folks. If you've ever accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior, I got some hope for you today. As bad as this life is, as bad as the things you've gone through, as hopeless as it seems, you got some hope, folks. Because as bad as it is here, may I remind you, you're just going to live 70, 80, 90 years here. After that, eternity in heaven. And you'll live in the glory, undecaying eternity up with Jesus Christ. And Peter comes down, he's looking at believers and says, hey, can I remind you, you got something to laugh about? Can I remind you, you got something to smile about? And for those of you that are going through surgeries and pains, and you got problems with your kids, and you got problems with your spouse, and you got problems all over the place, and you're like, what's life about? Peter says, stop! As bad as it is right now, you got hope. And you ought to enjoy, and you ought to have abundant life. Why? Because, folks, it's more than about right now, it's about then. Folks, we have a lively hope, a living hope that all just spread throughout our body. And be reminded that no matter what happens, we can't lose that salvation. Then he goes to verse 6 and 7. Look at those real quick. He says, why do we have hope? He then talks about the trials. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now look at this. Now look at those words. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. He says, man, you're real excited and you're joyful and you're jumping up and down. And then he says, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. What is this, an oxymoron? Or what is this? You're telling me to rejoice, but you're telling me that for a season I'm going to go through manifold temptations? Yeah. You mean I'm supposed to be happy even when things are going bad? Yeah. Why? Because you know something that other people don't know. Did you not look at the verse? He says, first of all, it's a season. How long is a season? Fall, winter, summer, spring? You ever notice when you're in the middle of something you think is going to last forever? It's that little ridge. I don't know if he's sleeping yet. But I remember those days, you know, very faintly, you know, and it's like, will they ever go to bed? Will I ever get 7-8 hours again ever in my life? I got good news, Christy. No. Well, yeah, of course it comes. Of course it comes. I don't know, is Andrea there yet? Caleb, are they there? Okay. I mean, there comes a day, but when you're in it, you're thinking, oh, man, you get wiped out. You get tired. Like, what's... And it's like that for everybody. But can I remind you? The Bible says it's a season. Nothing stays. By the way, good or bad, it doesn't stay. It's just temporary. So why do we have a hope? We have a hope because even though it may be miserable right now, it's just for a season. How long is the season? Well, I don't know. I'm not God. But we of all people ought to step back and say, hey, guess what? And by the way, you know everybody goes through the seasons of life. Remember you were little? That was a season. And then you grew up, you know, kind of elementary school. That was a season. Then you became a teenager. That was a bad season. And then you went into young adulthood. You know, then you got married. That was a season. You had kids. That was a season. And then you matured and you became 41. That was a good season. Came wise and probably the best. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Get caught up sometimes. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, you go through seasons. Brenda and I are getting ready to go through empty nest season. That's going to be good or bad. We don't know. But then one day there's going to be baby syndrome where we're grandparents. That's another season. That's a fun one. It's like you send them home. I was asking Miss Shirley, hey, is the baby keeping you up? She goes, I send them home. Send them home, man. But you see, now wait, we know this. But then why do we get so depressed and so down? I'm serious. Peter's looking at him saying, you're going to go through some rough times. But it's not forever. We as believers, with the power of God and the Word of God, and knowing there's a God watching over us every step of the way. He's literally guiding every step of the way. And he says, it is good for you to go through these temptations. These trials are good for you. Why? Look at verse 7. Man, it's great. He says, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Now, I know some of your hearts right now. You're saying, yeah, preacher, but I'd like to try the gold right about now. Man, come on. If I had, I don't know, what is it, a weight of gold? I'd say, okay, we'll give you the weight of gold or a trial for 3 months. I can tell you, not one person here, unless you were just trying to make the preacher happy, not one person here would say, ooh, I'll take the trial. I hope they leave the trial for me. Every one of you say, I'll take the gold. You say, how do you know? Because that's what I would take. And I'll take the money in a heartbeat over the trial. Why? Because we live in such a temporal world, we forget, folks. Everything you're going through, now listen, everything you're going through is just a test to make you better. Everything. Did you hear me? Everything you're going through is a test to make you better. Brother Paul goes in tomorrow. Procedure on his heart. Brother Paul, it's a test to make you better. Brother Underwood, even at Brother Underwood's age, it's a test to make you better. God's not sending you through this to punish you. We forget, man, he wants you to have abundant life and lively hope. Sometimes we look at this God up there and he's up there going, I just want to make you painful. That's not God. No, God's up there saying, I want to produce in you something that's going to benefit your life. And I got to put you through the trials. Come on, if every one of us would admit our greatest times in our life, spiritual growth, was through tough times. Very few of us grow when things are going good. We usually forget about God during that time. But we are being put through the fire and it's tough. You know what you do? You pray. You go to church. You read your Bible. You get godly counsel. And you get more spiritual than you've ever been in your life through a trial. And God says, exactly. I'm sending you through the trial to make you better. And I looked at this and I said, wait a minute. You mean all that I'm going through, the trial of my faith, verse 7, more precious than gold that perishes though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, we could stop right now and talk about all the trials we go through. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. As I look around the congregation, the amount of time that I've been here, we could share a lot of stories of things that people have gone through. Breathe easy, I'm not going to do it. Everyone's going, no, not that one, preacher. But seriously, I look at situations here that our members have gone through, and I think, you know what? Sometimes as believers, we think we have this this halo around us, and we're insulated from the things of this world. And I just got to remind you, that's not true. Oh, I believe there's a halo. It's called the hope of eternal life. And all it insulates me from is this. Not that I won't have to go through things, but get this. No matter what I go through, it will benefit me. Now, wait a minute. If I'm lost and I go through something, guess what? No benefit. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, not a believer, you're living through life, every pain that you experience has no benefit. You get no reward for it. You get no blessings for it. You have no hope. For all you know, life will continue to be just disastrous and miserable. Why? Because you don't know Jesus Christ. But not so for the believer. Everything that John Waterloo goes through, as soon as I wake up and look at it, I'm like, wait a minute. I get praise and glory for this. I get rewards at the bema seat of Christ in the book of Corinthians. I get crowns and glories to give back to God. It's worth it. Man, then why am I so depressed? Why am I down? Most of you that have been around me know that I have a phrase I use for just about anything. Staff teases me all the time. Marla, if you're going in for a surgery, if you're laying in the bed, you'll probably hear this from me. Well, Marla, it's been good praying with you. Enjoy. They laugh at me all the time. Guy's laying there getting ready to die. I go, hey, enjoy. Usually they walk out and go, Pastor, you're a sicko. Well, enjoy. And my favorite word is enjoy. It is. It's enjoy. I say it if you're having a good day, if you're having a bad day. Well, broke your leg. Sorry, Robin. Enjoy. He didn't break it, but he did hurt it. You know? Why would you tell someone to enjoy that? Well, let me tell you why. Because God did. Because whether it's good or bad, guess what? We have a lively hope. And of all people, no matter what we're going through, we ought to enjoy. Now he ends in verse 8 with something pretty exciting. He says, why should we have a lively hope? Look what he says here. Whom having not seen, ye love. And whom though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whew! Whom having not seen, ye love. Now, one thing I know about love is love brings a natural joy. You ever see two young people in love? Man, I mean, they can't help but smile. I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's plastered. But you know, Becca get married, what, next weekend? And it's cool. Go ask him. Go ask Becca. Becca, you ready to get married? Yeah. I mean, it's automatic, you know? It just, boom, it's just there, you know? And especially as the day gets close, oh, it's busy and you got a lot to do during the week. But it's just like a little fluttering that takes place, you know? Man, love does that. And you talk to someone about their kid, man, just smiles. I mean, why? There's a love there. Whom have we not seen? We've never seen Jesus Christ, yet we love him. Why? Because of what he's done for us. And he says, because of all that Christ has done and the love that we have for him, and more than that, the love that he has for us. Because, folks, you don't know love without Jesus Christ, because 1 John says God is love. We only loved him, the Bible says, because he first loved us. Are you ready? Because of this love, you ought to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. The most exciting people I like to be around, and people that probably teach me the most, are those that have gone through or going through tough times. And in the midst of those tough times, oh, they're not silly, they're not ridiculous, but there's just a, not just a peace, but there's a joy about them. They're not attacking God. They're not dogging the church. They're not attacking other believers. They're just sitting there going, oh, man, no, this is probably the worst I've ever been through, but man, isn't God great? You even see them start witnessing to other people about God and God in their life. And I always sit back and go, how can they do that? They've learned something that we need to learn. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, you have hope that others don't have. Because you possess the living hope. His name is Jesus Christ. And folks, it's time that we as believers start walking around believing that. Believing that. That no matter what we're going through, folks, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because I got a hope one day that no matter what happens, folks, if I'm killed in a car wreck, I wake up in glory. If I'm not dead, I wake up to my friends. If I lose all my money, it's not mine anyways. You know, what's the big deal? If I develop some sickness or disease, it's God's body anyways. I have a living hope. And that will make me joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as I close with this thought. Believers, how joyful are you? If it was you that got caught up on a mountain climbing and a blizzard came in and you died, would your family be able to say, wow, he or she taught me how to love and live and hope? Would they say that? Would they? And if they did, would it be real, or they just be saying it because it's the appropriate thing to say? If not, maybe today as a believer, you need to get reacquainted with the hope that's inside of you. Maybe it's time we quit looking at the pitiful life that we think that we have and start thanking God for the salvation that he's given us and live like we really enjoy. And if you are here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I got good news for you. Oh, don't be like the friend. Don't be like Scott's, please. Don't be like Scott's friend said, yeah, my life's miserable. I wish I had a life like you. And then not listen to how he got that life. You get that life through Jesus Christ. You're running from the only thing that can give you any type of hope and joy at all. We'd like to introduce you to Jesus today. Would you stand? Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your provisions. We thank you for the hope that you give us, Lord, an amazing hope. With that hope comes joy unspeakable, that no matter what we're going through, Lord, we can praise your name, we can smile, we can have joy. It doesn't make sense, Lord, except that your spirit is alive inside of us. Lord, we of all people ought to exhibit life, abundant life. We of all people, Lord, ought to smile and laugh and enjoy because we have something to be excited about, something that's permanent, not temporary. Lord, thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the fact that we can't lose it. Lord, if nothing else, may we take great joy in hearing that today. Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, there's people going through different things. Lord, may they come and find a new joy and hope in you today. For those that are lost especially, Lord, I pray that they would come forward. I know an invitation is different for them, and they maybe have never been a part of one. But Lord, may they just step out of their seat and walk to the front. One of the pastors will talk to them. And Lord, show them how they can find hope, hope in you. Whatever the needs are today, Lord, I pray that you'd move. And may we walk out of this place, Lord, a little bit more jump in our step, bigger smile on our face. Realizing that we have you. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponca Theater Building. Give us the chance to get to know you. Until then, God bless you. Have a great week. And thank you again for listening.